Welcome to It's Fine on KXRW Independent Radio Vancouver. I'm Faith.
I'm Steven.
And I'm Kyle.
And this radio show is about the absurdities of adulthood. And some of those absurdities include waking up one day and realizing that we should all organize. Why are we letting this happen? And that's, I work in a restaurant. I've mentioned it before. I'm a bartender and I work in a restaurant. I work in two restaurants now. I got another job. I went back to Punch Bowl Social in the Pioneer Square Mall. And I went back not because the money is particularly great, but just because they have unionized. And I was asked to come back and help with the union effort. And I should start by saying I've never done this before. I've never organized anything. I mean, I've organized things. I've planned parties. Like, you know, like that's what I do. I'm good at it. But it's just like, I'm good at like talking to people, but I've never been involved in like union leadership.
Well, you know, I do a lot of education now. We're teaching people how to do audio production. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I say to people is, I'm not going to tell you anything to do that is very hard to do. It's remembering all the little things.
Right.
So here it is. It's like you are being asked to be a leader. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, I could do this thing. I could do this thing. I could do this thing. What's the only thing that's disconcerting is that somebody's like, you're the adult.
Yeah.
Be the adult. You look really responsible.
Right.
And you're like, what?
I know. Yeah. And it just sort of, it just kind of happened. Somebody initially was leading everything. We got the vote through. We are unionized. There is a Punch Bowl Social union. That was like, I think, the hard part. And so now, like, I'm on the bargaining team and we're going to the next hard part. And I'm just like having to do this thing where I just have to like trust myself. And it's weird because it's like I'm looking at the other people around me, because like the thing about a union obviously is like we're all looking out for each other, and they're just kind of like, well, what do we, you know, what? And I'm just like, well, I guess we all have to trust ourselves because we're all adults. Like, it's like we all have to like trust that we want the right things for ourselves. We have to trust that we're doing this correctly. Like, you know, there's plenty of resources out there. I'm just restaurant unionizing is not something that happens often.
Well, I think that there's turnover in the employees. Sometimes a lot of people working in restaurants aren't really comfortable being very official about everything.
Right. Yeah.
But the, you know, I was a Teamster. Mm-hmm. I have a Teamster pension. I'm retired. I'm retired from UPS.
Yep.
And I have a Teamster pension. So when the first question I always ask or think of in my mind is like, well, what is there a union that you're affiliated with? Because that can make a difference, because then you're dealing with somebody who has they have experience, they kind of know what to look for, because you have to think about like, what are your benefits, how much of what you're bargaining for is working conditions. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody always thinks pay, but pay is part of it. And the other thing is that a really good union is going to create a positive relationship with the owners and say, look, we're trying to make your business succeed. We're trying to prevent things to get crazy and all over the place. We're trying to have standardization.
Right.
We're trying to have standards that the workers will have to live up to.
Yeah.
And so it benefits the business, and you have to explain that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's kind of like where we're in, like we're in the beginning stages of that. Right now we're just part of the one big union, because there really isn't like enough unionized restaurants to have any higher organization like between us and the IWW, basically. Like, it's because there's like maybe one or two other restaurants in the entire city of Portland that are like unionized, and I think that should change.
IWW is like, doesn't that go back to like the Wobblies?
That's like Wobblies.
Yeah. So that's like that's a good, those, I mean, are good people to be are associated,
yeah,
with.
But that's like, the big one. That's like the,
Are those little dolls that you can push, but they don't fall down?
Those are Weebles.
Oh, sorry.
They wobble, but they don't fall down.
Okay.
But I do believe that Weebles are pro-union.
Yeah. They definitely all have hard hats. I know that
keep
much.
Getting back up. So, it's, yeah, but we're the IWW is kind of like the where we are. Like, it's, but that's, but I mean, that's like that goes, that's the big one. That's the old one. That's just kind of like the one that's all, the one that made things happen. I mean, it's Labor Day. We
the Wobblies, I mean, I only know about the Wobblies in part because the Teamsters went on strike at UPS in 1997. Mm-hmm. I was part of that strike, and we went to the union hall, and one of the UPS pilots, which is a separate union, but they came in. A guy comes in, and he's a pilot, and this guy's making like three times what we're making.
Yeah.
And he, and airline pilots are rabidly pro-union.
Oh, yeah.
And if you mess with the union, it's very, very bad. And it will stay with you the rest of your career. And he came in and he was Australian. He was like, now, mates, you got to stay in there. You got to, you know, be strong. We're going to pass this. Just remember, we're with you. We're behind you. You know, and it was like, and my brother was like, yeah, you know, the pilots are like the Wobblies. They're the most fervent union members in the country.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is what, and that is who we're with, is just like, because it makes sense, I think, in a, because they're the ones that are like the direct action type France stuff that, you know, like they'll do the France stuff to you. We've had discussions on working strikes and, you know, stuff like that in our meetings that we have. But that's like who we're with, but it's like, it's also just like, on the one hand, I'm like, it's exciting because they are like so like hardcore, and it's like, this is what I want a union to be. Like, this is what I want. This is who I want behind me, and this is great. But it's also just like, at the same time, it's like, it's frustrating because I'm just like, why weren't we all just doing this before? And I feel like it's because people don't have a really good idea of what unions do. There's a lot of people who, like, when they talk about unions, they use the word they all the time, when they're just like, oh, do you know what a union, because we had new hires recently, and we were like, do you know what unions are? And they were like, oh, they blah blah blah. And I was like, no, we're, it's us, like me, I'm, you can talk to me. I was like it's us, me, everybody you just met, you know, back on the floor, like, it's, that's who the union is. And she was like, oh. And I was like, yeah, there's no like person outside the building in like a tucked away office deciding what the union's gonna do. Like, it's us. It's weird. We're doing it. And it was like this like wash of realization was just like, she was like, oh. And I was like, yeah, there's no like council. There's no dark shadowy figure somewhere telling us, you know, how to do what we're deciding it is what we're doing. And it was like so clear to her and so clear to me. Like after that, I was just like, oh, that's what people use they a lot when they talk about unions. They're like, the unions. They do this and they do that. And I'm like, no, they're just people. It's us. It's mm-hmm. It's employees. It's workers.
It's a way for workers who if you're a venture capitalist and you have millions of dollars, you go, well, there's a business, I'm going to invest in that business and I'm going to get a return on my investment. There's a lot of money there. Money mm-hmm. is power.
Yeah.
So if you come in and you're trying to make better than minimum wage, you may not feel like you have power, but together you can have the power. And what you're ultimately saying is, oh, we work in a restaurant. When people come in, they should expect a certain level of experience, a certain experience, a certain quality of experience.
Yeah.
And the union will help do that. The union will help you follow through with that plan. It benefits everybody.
Yeah.
It's something to it. It requires the workers to aspire to a certain level of quality.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's another thing that I think we need, you know, in the restaurant service industry, which we will come back to and talk about when we come back from our break on It's Fine, KXRW Independent Radio Vancouver. I'm Faith.
I'm Steven.
I'm Kyle.
We'll be right back.
Shriners Children's has opened a new pediatric orthopedic clinic in Vancouver. The clinic provides evaluation and follow-up care for children and teens with orthopedic conditions, including sports-related injuries such as sprains and fractures. Care is available regardless of a family's ability to pay. The Vancouver Shriners Children Clinic is located at 900 Northeast 139th Street, Suite 204, and is open Monday through Friday. Information about services and scheduling is available at shrinerschildrens.org/Vancouver Clinic.
Well, Welcome back to It's Fine on KXRW Independent Radio Vancouver. I'm Faith.
I'm Steven.
I'm Kyle.
And we were just talking about unions. My restaurant has unionized. Steven has made a good point about a standard, a raising of standards for people in a union and the way that, you know, organizing can inspire people to do better in their chosen careers. And I'm certainly hoping that's what happens for my chosen, well, it's not necessarily even my chosen career. I have a degree in neuroscience. I've been a bartender for 12 years, I've paid off cars. I've raised my credit score with it. My friends have bought houses on their bartender careers, and it is a career. And but we're kind of suffering a little bit in the service industry lately, and I think that you know, patrons would also say that they're suffering a little bit as restaurant goers lately. And I noticed that, and I definitely do notice it. I will say this: service has gotten bad. And Portland's always had technically bad service or whatever, mm-hmm. but service has gotten bad in Portland. And I'm the most lenient person when it comes to going out and like, or anything for that matter. Like if I'm out in an establishment, like I'm so lenient with service and servers, and I tip 20% no matter what, because I think that, you know, that's your duty as a person. If you do go out, if you choose to go out, just know you're going to be tipping 20%. That is just in order for you not to be a bad person about it. Like you've made the
decision. Which is up from 15.
It is up from 15. It needs to be up. You are asking someone to do a $30 an hour job for half the amount. And if you do not tip is what it is. But I also am conflicted because service has been bad lately.
Well, this is where unions can come in. Now, people think that unions protect bad workers, but it really only takes a responsible manager
right.
to track their progress and say, hey, maybe this isn't for you.
Right.
There's just a whole bunch. There's so many things going on. If you are a boss and you have a good idea for a company, it's kind of people almost like, well, your job is done. You put in money. Right. It's like being a dad, but then you leave. You're like, oh, yeah. Well, I impregnated a woman. I'm a dad.
Now I'm going to go.
And the thing is that there's so many things involved. Like, so if a working group of people at a restaurant unionize, it can actually bring everything up because it shows, first of all, there is no such thing as unskilled labor.
Yeah.
There is. If someone says, well, you got to dig ditches, that's unskilled labor. It's like, then dig ditches. You dig the ditches and you tell me where there's no skill involved.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you that there's some sort of skill involved. There's skill involved in everything. And so people have to have their work respected. And if the problem is people coming to restaurants and they're like, wow, this costs more, but I'm not making more. So then they should be like, maybe I should unionize. And I was talking to somebody just over the weekend and they were saying, and I was like, yeah, you know, in the United States, if you're a corporation, your job for your shareholders is to increase their value at the expense of everybody else.
Yeah.
So in other words,
that was Henry Ford, right? Who basically he was trying to redistribute profit back to his workers, and the shareholders went, no, you can't do that. Yeah. And they were like, your job, we're your shareholders. Your job is to give us the money.
Yeah.
That is what you do. You don't give that back to them. We take that from you.
And like, the thing is, that makes no sense, because if you ruin the workers, then who's going to work for you? And the workers obviously create the value. So what you have to do is you have to have some balance. And I was saying that, like, I think that it should be legally required that the fiduciary responsibility of corporations is profit and taking care of the workers who generated that profit and taking care of the community where you do business. So if you do something mm-hmm. that can be seen as detrimental to the community that you're operating from, you know, and that should be illegal because it should be against the charter of your company. Obviously, people get the like, whoa, you know, if you give less money to your workers, but my pension is held by a union and their legal responsibility is to give me as much money as possible. So after I was retired under an agreement, I had what I had. They added vision and dental for retirees because their responsibility legally is to give us the best benefits they could, even if we'd agreed to something, even if we're retired.
Right. But if those benefits come available, they should give them to you.
Right. Now, if you were ABC Corporation and you have a chance to take away the workers' pension and give that money to your share owners, legally you're almost required to do that.
Yeah.
And that's – how is that right?
It isn't. And it's the same thing as when, you know, like the Supreme Court decided that police don't have an obligation to help people. They have an obligation to uphold the law. And if upholding the law comes before helping you, that is what they do. Mm-hmm. And that's upholding the law comes before helping you is what it all boils down to, I think. Let me tell you guys what is happening with us is that private events are a big deal with Punch Bowl Social. It's a giant space. It is really fun to go to. I really do encourage everybody to go to this place. And obviously tip the employees, but I just what happened was there used to
be, by the way, because we're non-commercial radio, you cannot tell people that they really should go to Punch Bowl. You cannot say that.
Okay.
You can say people should consider going there because it's a good place.
Okay.
And they should consider tipping well, but you can't say that they should go there. I just want to make that really, really clear.
Okay. You should consider it. I'll tell you where it is. It's in the Pioneer Place Mall on the third floor. But what's happening with us is that we are, private events used to be gratuity based. And that was based on the food and beverage that was served at the party. They would get a percentage of that. They took that away and they switched it to a service charge. And in the state of Oregon, Washington has a service charge transparency law that when you sign a contract for a private event and a service charge is involved or anything that a service charge is involved in, they have to tell you how that service charge is distributed. And I doubt that service charges are very popular in Washington for this reason, because what service charges usually are just extra money back to the company. And you think that it's a tip because they don't explain it to you, because you see the word service and you think that it means a gratuity. That's not what it means. It is just extra money that they've just taken from you to put back into the company. So it goes back to the house. It doesn't go to any of us. And so what they did instead is they said, well, let's just give you an additional $20 an hour. And that sounds really great until you realize that, you know, a party only lasts for 2 hours and we're only making $40. Whereas before, we were making like $300. Mm-hmm. And that's what made it worth it to come and work these private events, because there's hundreds of people that come to these things and we run our butts off. I mean, we really do. We run our butts off. And I think that we deserve everything that we make. Because it is also a skilled issue. We train people like to be good at these things. So like it is the difference between taking everybody to like a bar where no one was expecting you to be there to a restaurant where it was like, yeah, we set up this entire event for you. We know exactly what your drink package is. We know exactly what it looks like to have to cut off your VP correctly without embarrassing them. Mm-hmm. Like when they get too hammered, we know, you know, we're going to keep your buffet full. We're going to make it look nice and you're going to have a great time and you'll get everything that you paid for.
Well, I think when you,
because of these gratuities and because we're working for them,
I think when you explain exactly what people are paying and exactly what people are getting, then they understand it. And it's great because they get what they pay for.
You get what you pay for when you have a gratuity. We're going to come back to this. We'll wrap it up on It's Fine on KXRW Independent Radio Vancouver. I'm Faith.
I'm Steven.
I'm Kyle.
We'll be right back.
Support for KXRW comes from On Point Community Credit Union, with 8 branches in Southwest Washington, offering checking, credit cards, home equity lines of credit, and more. On Point. People are the point. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity. Learn more at onpointcu.com.
All Welcome back to It's Fine on KXRW Independent Radio Vancouver. I'm Faith.
I'm Steven.
I'm Kyle.
And Steven had a really good point. We were talking, as we do, between segments, about kind of having that seniority and then like looking out for other people, whether that's in a union, whether it's at UPS, whether it's at, whether you're a comic, whether you're, you know, and kind of looking out for other people. This is why service is bad lately, is because there has been a break in the chain of mentorship. I know there are other bartenders out there who have been doing it as long and longer than me. I've been doing it for like 10, 12 years now, but they're not a lot of us left because we left. Because things got so bad when everything opened back up, people were just like feral. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
people were terrible.
Yeah, 2021 was awful,
and they were not tipping us, and so a lot of us left. And so what companies started doing is they started hiring people who have always been like, well, I've always wanted to be a bartender. And it's like, okay, well, do you know how to talk to people? Do you know how to multitask? Do you have like a memory for, you know, do you have a good short-term memory? Are you quick on your feet? No. Well, but you can pour a drink, right? Okay, yeah, sure. Come on back here. And then usually that's fine. And that's usually how you get your start in bartending anyway. You know, like somebody's just like, hey, you want to be a bartender? And you're like,
bartending,
yeah, okay.
Is bartending considered a unskilled labor? Because I kind of feel like it is, even though clearly it is not.
People do consider it like unskilled labor, but it is one of like the most prestigious. Like, you can tell the difference between a good and a bad bartender. Mm-hmm. Like, you can just kind of tell the difference. Like, if you are a bar goer, you can understand the difference between like somebody who knows how to handle a bar and somebody who doesn't. And unfortunately, places are populated a lot right now by people who cannot handle hospitality.
I think that, you know, we talk about like...
And there's no one to teach them to do it right now.
Skilled versus unskilled labor is, it's a bad name. It's like branding that is horrible for workers. And the other thing is soft skills.
Yeah.
Soft sciences. And it's like, no, what they are is they are incredibly complex, higher level thinking sciences and jobs. A bartender is like, you got to check the door. You're looking to see if customers are being treated poorly by other customers. There's so many things that you are responsible for, and ultimately you're responsible for the vibe of the establishment.
Right.
And you're also handing out drugs. You know,
so
it's like
you were handing out alcohol, like you were handing out controlled substances. It is one of those things where it's like the people who are in seniority who are supposed to like, when they get their stuff done, look at the person next to them and go, okay, what can I help you with? Those people don't exist anymore in bartending, which is really unfortunate because that's how I became a better bartender. I still remember people who like helped me along the way. But those people don't, I feel like I am that person now, and I'm more than happy to be that person now. But there's only so many of me. And the other thing too is that I don't think people get, because tipping has been so bad, and tipping has been so bad because service has been bad, and service has been bad because a lot of us left because the tipping was so bad. And then it just like, and it's that constant backwards loop. I don't think people understand anymore why you're supposed to give good service, because they're just like, well, if I'm just going to get what I'm going to get, what does it matter? And I'm like, because when we're all doing this the right way, people notice, and then they bring more people into our restaurant. And the better we do at this, the more say we have in how we're treated. Like, we have to be good at what we're doing in order to be like, you know, in order for this to be like an experience for them. And it's just like, I don't think you understand, the better customer service we're providing, the more power we have in this, like here in general.
There's another thing, which is like bad customers.
Customers have been so bad lately, Steven.
I think we have to train customers. I've told people, I went to the hospital and it was on the tail end of COVID, so I had to go in by myself. Nurse comes in, I go, hey, I'm Steven, I'm the patient, I want to let you know that we're supposed to work together. We're a team that's working on my health.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need something from me, you tell me. I will do the best that I can to follow your directions. And if I need something from you, I'll let you know. And hopefully we'll be able to take care of that thing.
Yeah.
Let's work together. The person who's getting you your food, getting you your drink, getting you your water, they're your helper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They are helping you. Now, they're doing it for money, but they're still your helper. Why would you treat your helper?
Yeah.
Why would you treat your bartender poorly when they're your drug dealer? You never treat your drug dealer poorly. That's crazy.
Yeah.
People need to know this. And it's no more than just be polite, be clear about what you want.
It is insane the amount of people who just didn't, who have like come to my bar and not understood that I'm like, no, I'm the one who tells you whether or not you're going to be drinking tonight. You know that, right? And there was this kid, he comes up, he orders a shot. I give it to him. I mean, I checked his ID. He wasn't an actual child, but he was younger. He was like 22. And like, so he orders a shot. He's talking to his buddy and he's kind of like, it's clear that he's been somewhere else, you know? So he orders a shot. And then he goes to order another shot. And I said, you know, I've been kind of listening to you. I've been kind of watching you at the bar. I think maybe let's just do a water, you know? And I'm like, you're not out of control, but like, maybe let's just slow it down. And he looks at me and he goes, oh, that sounds like a you problem. And I was just like, you know what? Get off my bar. And he just looked at me like I was like, I had grown another head. And he was like, what? And I said, I'm not serving you any more alcohol. You might as well not sit at the bar. And he looked at the other bartender and I was just like, no, he thinks what I think and you're not getting any more alcohol. And he was just like, you can't do it. And I was like, that is actually exactly my job. This is what I just did to you is exactly my job. And he was like flabbergasted by that. And I was just like, not only, and I hate to make it a power play because you're right. It is like, it's a collaborative effort. We are all doing this so that we can like temporarily numb the pain of existence. Excuse me, of living here, of living on this planet together. We're all in a collaborative effort to make it better. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be about power, but when it comes down to it, we do have the power for that entire, like, I can make that interaction end. Go ahead.
I've gotten someone cut off as a comedian. Yes. And that's fun because they were heckling so much. And I was like, they're slurring their speech. You should probably cut them off. And then they did. It was amazing.
You know, the thing of it is this. Predictability. You know, everybody's getting paid the same. Their union or elite. It's predictable wages, predictable benefits, predictable experience when you come into a restaurant or any business. This is what we want. That's what we want as customers. This is what we want as workers. Let's work together to take care of all of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what it is. I hope that anything I've said has made sense. I feel like I just rambled for half an hour, but thank you for listening to It's Fine on KXRW Independent Radio Vancouver. I'm Faith.
I'm Steven.
And I'm Kyle.
All right, everybody organize.